Morning Living Church. How are we feeling? Everybody doing good? You came in the warm weather. I don't know what's been happening, right? It's been like last week was 30 degrees. This morning I checked my phone, it's going to be 65. It's crazy. But man, I'm excited. I believe God has something great in store for us today. We're in the third week of our series, This Is Us. Everyone say, This Is Us. We're talking about who we are as a church, that as a church, what are we here to do? What are we here for? What are we trying to accomplish? 1 Corinthians 9, chapter 26, we've been talking about the last couple weeks. It says this, I will run with purpose. Everyone say purpose. Purpose. I will run with purpose in every step. I'm not just shadow boxing. You know, to run with purpose, you have to know where you're going. If you're lost, you have a really hard time running somewhere with purpose because you're kind of confused, so you're kind of meandering, lollygagging around. But here at Living Church, we know what God has called us to do, and so we're running with purpose towards everything he has out there for us. Our mission here is to show the love of Jesus to people who know him and don't know him. That our heart is to show love to people, to show the love, to speak truth to people, both that know God, that are in close relationship with God, hopefully that's most of you, but that also we're going to show love to people that are far away from God. I don't know about you, but I have some friends and some family members that are far away from God. And it's my hope that they find a relationship with Jesus. And so we're going to show love to all of those people. But to do that, we've created some values that will help us run towards that mission. Last week, we talked about one of our first values, which is that at Living Church, we believe there's more and we'll ask what's next. Everyone say there's more. We believe there's more. We believe there's more for you personally. We believe there's more for you as a couple, as a family. And we believe that God has more for us as a church. The reason we believe there's more is because we serve a God of more. One of the names of God is El Shaddai. It means that he's the God of more than enough. That he's not the just made it enough God, not the just skate by the skin of your teeth God, but he's a God of more than enough. All throughout Scripture, he shows us that's his personality, that's his attitude, is to be lavish and is to give more than enough. He didn't just feed 5,000 people, but he had 12 baskets left over. All throughout Scripture, he shows us that he's more than enough. And he wants more for us as a church. All throughout the book of Acts, time after time in the New Testament, it says, and the church grew, and they multiplied, and they added to their number. And a healthy church is a growing church, a church that's reaching people and connecting with people that are far from God. So last week we talked through Isaiah 54, verse 2. It says this. It says, enlarge the place of your tent and let the curtains of your habitation be stretched out. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cord and strengthen your stakes. And we talked about how we have to lengthen and strengthen. If you were to put up a tent, you know, just like a real simple tent and tie a rope between two trees, if you were making a tent just for you, you wouldn't have to have a trees very far apart. One person could just have two trees that are really close. But if you want to have a habitation that will allow a lot of people to come in, you have to see past good enough and have some vision to see there's more. And so you have to lengthen your vision. And so at Living Church, we have a big vision to reach a lot of people, your friends, your family members, the people that you live next to and you work with. We want to let them know that God loves them. So we'll lengthen, but we also have to strengthen. And we talked about how the size of the tent is dependent upon the strength of the stakes. And the stronger we are as stakes, the stronger as we are of people that hold down the corners of the church, that it's in that that people can come in and have connection with God. But the first thing we have to do is enlarge. We have to stretch what we already have. Everyone say stretch. We have to stretch. And so last week we made an announcement that we were super excited about, that in just a few weeks we're going to 3 services here at Living Church. Super excited to create opportunity for more people to come into connection and relationship with God. So on March 18th, we're launching 3 services. This is 2 Sundays before Easter. So Easter's April 1st. We're going to get a couple Sundays under our belt, our teams. Everybody knows what's happening. We're ready. And we can open up an environment for more people to come in and connect to God. So we've got a 9 o'clock, a 10:30, and a noon. So for most of you in the 9:15, you guys are early birds. And so you're going to be totally fine with being here at the 9 o'clock in our 11 o'clock service, which is packed. Some of those people, they show up like mid-message, and so they're going to be our 12 o'clock people, right? And so it's going to be a great opportunity to fill God's house so that more people can come under the habitation, come into a relationship with God. And so this week, I got to ask you a favor. Tomorrow, I'm going to send out an email, and in that email is a simple survey. It's only 5 questions, and would ask that you would fill out that survey so that we can step into 3 services with our best foot forward. And I know how it is when you fill out a survey, like you go to the store to buy something, And then the lady's like, at the bottom of your receipt, I've circled where if you fill out the survey, it's 800 questions. And if you fill that out, we're going to give you $5 off your next $1,000 purchase. And you're like, this is not worth my time filling out the survey. Trust me, this one's easy. 5 questions. It's going to help us walk into this new season with our best foot forward because we need to launch well. Right? We want to launch well. We want to know who's going where, make sure that we have everything in order. So please take some time to fill that out this week because what we do here is important, y'all. What we're doing, it's important. You guys coming and serving, it's important. When we come and open this house and we read the Word of God, that's important. When we worship God, that's important. Come on, 9:15, you got to help me out. It's important what we're doing here, which leads us to our value today. The value that we're walking through today is this, that there's no such thing as just another Sunday. There's no such thing as just another Sunday. It can be really easy to kind of get in the routine and get in the mundane. You know how there's days that you go to work and you just drive to work like on autopilot and you're like, how did I even get here? Right? There's been times before that I'm driving and Rachel's like, where are you going? And I'm like, oh, sorry, I thought I was going to the church and I like pass the exit and I just forget. You ever done that? We get put on autopilot. But we have to remember when it comes to the house of the Lord, there's no such thing as just another Sunday. That every week we walk in here that God has something big that he wants to do in the lives of people. So we're not going to phone it in. We're never going to phone it in. That every week that God has something tailor-made for people when they walk into this place ready for something miraculous in their life to happen. Because we believe that people get saved here. Almost every week someone accepts Jesus Christ in their heart as their Lord and Savior. Every week there are marriages that are restored. There are relationships that are healed. Every week people walk in with insecurity and walk out with confidence. There's people that walk in with fear and walk out with authority. There's kids that walk into this place that got teased at school all week. And here at Living Church, they get loved on and someone tells them they believe in them, that what we're doing here is important. And so because of that, we have a value that there's no such thing as just another Sunday. That we're not just going to phone it in, that we're not going to work hard. Matthew 18:20, it's so good. It says this, for where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am with them. Two or three. Now, so if you look around this place, there's more than two or three of us, right? And so if there's more than two or three of us in this place that love Jesus, that we realize, you know what, I sinned in my life, but Jesus, through his what he did for us on the cross, I've became forgiven and now righteous in the sight of God. When we come to this place and worship, God's presence is there. And so if God thinks it's a big deal to show up, I think that we should show up too. That we should not just roll up in here and put it on autopilot and check off a spiritual box of I'm going to have my religious task and go to church, but that we're going to be the church, that we're going to show up in this place and we're going to make a difference for people in their life. Because if he's willing to show up, we should make it important and a priority for us to show up. Because in his presence, man, in God's presence, you can walk in sad. And the Bible says in his presence, you can walk out with the fullness of joy. That's what happens, that you can walk in afraid and in his presence, walk out with strength. That in his presence, you can walk in broken and you can go out healed. That it's in his presence that miraculous things happen. And because God lives with us, when two or three of us are gathered, we're going to remember there's no such thing as just another Sunday. So I'm not going to come up here and go, well, I didn't really figure out nothing to say this week, so Brandon, sing us some more songs, right? We're not going to do that. We're going to have a purpose. We're going to have some intention about what God wants to do. We believe that defining moments happen here. Amen. Anybody ever had a defining moment in church? Yes. Like God spoke something to you, and he gave you some clarity, and he helped you understand something about yourself? We're creating an environment for God to have defining moments in people's lives. And I was thinking about that this week, and I started making a list of defining moments for me. And I made a list of about 20, 25 things. I'm not going to read them all. But throughout my life, these moments that were defining moments, that I look back and I have these vivid memories, that it helped shift the direction of my life. I remember when I was 7 years old, we went to church one Sunday, and I sat in church, and I heard our kids pastor talk, and I was paying attention, and I started to think about what he said. And then on the way home, my mom needed to get something from the grocery store, and so mom ran into the grocery store, and I sat in my dad's brown Aerostar minivan in the parking lot of the grocery store, and I asked my dad what it meant to have Jesus live in my heart. And at 7 years old, my dad led me to the Lord in the grocery store parking lot in his brown minivan. And it was a defining moment for my life, and we have those moments. I remember in fifth grade, I won a speech contest. We had a speech contest at our school, and I annihilated those kids, right? I told them I wanted to grow up and be an architect. Well, God had different plans. It was a defining moment in my life. I remember when I was in ninth grade, I thought I was Mr. Big Stuff. And then in ninth grade, I got beat up by three guys. Like, beat up, bad, and it was good for me. It was a defining moment. I think that every young man should get beat up at least once in his life. And so if Titus turns like 16 and hasn't been beat up, Jeremy, I might call you and get some MMA action, beat him up for me, right? And so, like, there's something that it was a defining moment for me, you know? It was important. I remember the moment I was called to preach. I remember the moment I got to preach my very first youth camp. Kevin went with me. It was a defining moment. Like, it was a defining moment in my life that I stepped into this thing that I'd never done. I remember the first time I kissed Rachel. Come on, somebody. And we were hanging out, and she was getting ready to leave. We're standing in the doorway, and it's raining outside. It's raining, and it's, well, she's licking her lips right now, and it's lightning, and it's thunders happening outside, and I'm standing there, and I'm looking at her, I'm like, I'm in love with this girl, come on, go for it, baby. It was a defining moment in my life, and we remember all of these defining moments, and these defining moments are important. I remember driving down Broad Street here in Mansfield when we were praying about, God, what do you want us to do? Where do you want us to plant a church? And we're driving down Broad Street, and we didn't have any kids yet, and God said, this is the city where you're going to raise your children. It was a defining moment. Yeah, we went to P.F. Chang's with some friends, Rachel and I, and I had a defining moment at a table with my small group, my life group, them speaking life into me. I had a defining moment. And those defining moments that we have, they shift the direction of our lives. You know what we do in this place? Is we foster an environment. We are creating a habitat. We are making a place that people can come in and have a defining moment with God. So as I looked through my 25 defining moments, I realized that they all had some things in common. One, they were all surrounded around a stressful situation. I was stressed out, what do I do with my life? I was stressed out, I really like this girl, I think I should kiss this girl. I was stressed out because I'm getting beat up by three guys, right? They're all stressful moments. I want to be an architect, but God, you're calling me to be in ministry. They're all stressful moments. But not only are they stressful moments, they all involve other people. Every one of my defining moments, it wasn't just me by myself somewhere. It was me talking with someone, or me speaking to someone, or somebody speaking to me, or me getting punched in the eye, right? There were all of these moments of me interacting with other people. And what happens is that this place becomes an incubator for defining moments. Because week after week, people come in the middle of stressful situations. You know how I know that's true? Because I've got some. Do you? You got some stuff that freaks you out and stressing you out and keeps you up at night? Okay, me too. And so people walk in, and they're overwhelmed and they're afraid. They don't know what to do next. But then God says that his presence is here if there's two or three of us. Right. So there's this incubation moment, and defining moments happen. And because of that, there's no such thing as just another Sunday. There's no time that we're just going to have service and not try to do something great for God. There's no such thing as just another Sunday, because for somebody, this is their Sunday. It's somebody's Sunday every single week. There's people that walk in hurt and they can leave healed. They walk in full of sin and they can walk out forgiven. For somebody, it's their Sunday. And I look around the room and I remember moments that it was your Sunday. I remember some of your moments. I remember when the novice first came. And I remember when it was your Sunday. And I remember when Rebecca and Cody Scott, he's now serving in the media booth. Rebecca, you're up here leading worship. And I remember y'all's Sunday. I remember John Waterfield having some moments. We had a conversation digging a hole out in the backyard, putting in a drainage pipe, and he had a moment. It was his moment. And you see, in the same way that we have moments with God, we now get the opportunity to create an environment for people to connect with Jesus. And because of that, there's no such thing as just another Sunday. That we're not just going to roll in here haphazardly and not preach the gospel. There's no such thing as just another Sunday. We have to take advantage of every single moment that we have. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16, it says this. It says, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. We're told, make the most of every opportunity. Why? Because the days are evil. You turn on the news and you see the days are evil. There's a lot of things happening. There's a lot of hurt. There's a lot of brokenness in the world. And God wants to be close to hurting people. So in this time, we have to be close. 2 Peter 3:9, it says, the Lord is not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Right. God wants every person to come into relationship with him. And so we have to take advantage of those moments. And then it says in Ephesians 5:16, it says making. Everyone say making.
Making.
Making. If you're making something, that means that you're putting effort into it, right? If you're making dinner, you're putting effort into making that dinner.
Right.
If you decide you want to make a table, you're like my friend Terry, you want to make a table, right? He's a carpenter. And so you say, I want to make a table. You know what you have to do? You have to put some effort into that thing.
Right.
So for us to make every opportunity, that means that we have to put some effort into the opportunity for those people. So when we come in here, we're ready to work. We're ready to get our hands dirty. We're ready to get involved in the lives of people, making the most, not being haphazard, not just phoning it in, but making the most of every opportunity. Ecclesiastes 9:10, it says, whatever your hands find to do, do it with all your might. That whatever we're working on, work hard at it. So like when you go to work, work hard, be a witness, be a light for Jesus at your workplace. But when you come to church, work hard. Worship hard, serve hard, give the best that you can so that other people can have an environment to connect to God. This next portion of the scripture is powerful. It gets a little dark, but I'm going to explain it. It says this, for there is no activity or planning or knowledge or wisdom in Sheol, that means in death, where you are going. So newsflash, we're all going to die someday. And when we die, we can't work anymore. When we die, we can't think, we can't plan, we can't strategize. When we die, we can't reach anybody else. So it says, while you're still alive, work hard.
Yeah.
While you're still here, make the most of every opportunity to talk to somebody about Jesus. Make every opportunity, an opportunity by its own definition means that it's eventually going to end. Like an opportunity only exists for a window. Or it would just be called, that's how it is. So there's only a short window for some people that they have this moment of their opportunity. And we have to do our very best, right? We have one shot. We have, for some people, we have one chance. We have one opportunity. And the question is, are we going to capture it? Or are we just going to let it slip away? Are we going to capture that moment? Or are we just going to let it slip away? And I understand that there's some Sundays that we come in, right? Our palms are sweaty, arms weak, knees are heavy, right? Vomit on my sweater already, mom's spaghetti, and I'm nervous, but on the surface, I'm calm and ready to drop bombs so they won't walk out forgetting what he wrote down. Come on, somebody. And so if Eminem, some of y'all are like, what's he doing up there? So if Eminem can get excited about rap music, shouldn't we get excited about preaching the truth of Jesus Christ? We have one shot, we have one chance, we have one opportunity to make a difference in people's lives. And so we're going to take full advantage of that because these moments, man, they matter. These moments matter for people in life. Jesus, all throughout Scripture, he made people's moments matter. He made moments for people matter. There was a time that Jesus was teaching. He's like mid-sermon. He's like teaching. And some guys start cutting a hole in the roof of the house he's teaching, and they lower a sick guy down by ropes. If that was me, I'd be like, security, please. Like, chief, can we get these people out of here? Like, this is something, what's happening, right? And so instead, Jesus, he sees the opportunity, and he takes advantage of the moment. And so he heals the guy. There's another time that Jesus is walking to a religious ruler's house, a politician's house. He's walking to his house, going through the crowd, and the Bible says a lady who had an issue she'd been dealing with for 12 years grabs the hem of his garment, and Jesus turns around. He doesn't rebuke her. He takes advantage of the opportunity, and he heals her. Jesus is walking through Jericho, headed to Jerusalem, right before Palm Sunday to be crucified, and he sees this little short guy in a tree, and he says, hey, Zacchaeus, come on down, and he takes advantage of the moment. Then he's walking and he's about to get on the donkey and ride down for Palm Sunday. People got, Hosanna, they got the palm branches, right? All that's about to happen. And Jesus is walking up and there's a blind guy who yells, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stops what he's doing, right? He puts his agenda to the side and he says, how can I help this other guy who can't help me at all? And he turns to blind Bartimaeus and he heals him. Jesus takes advantage of these moments. And if people's moments matter to Jesus, I think that they should matter to us, right? Because people walk in here needing a moment. Pastor Brandon and I were talking about this earlier, about how people walk in waiting for a moment from God. And you know what happens is they come in, and in their mind, they're singing a Phil Collins song.
I've been waiting for this moment for all my life.
Right? They don't know it, but people walk in on Sunday, and they're saying, I've been waiting for this moment. There's something broken. There's something hurting in me. I've been waiting.
I've been waiting for this moment for all my life.
But what happens sometimes is we aren't ready. We aren't ready for them, right? And so they come in singing the song, and we say, yeah, but you know, we actually don't have any seats left for you because the room's really full. And so before you come in, hold on, right?
But I've been waiting for this moment for all my life.
Hold on. Right? So what we do, we say, hold on. They come in, they say, I've been waiting for this moment for all my life. And then they go to kids check-in. And they go there, and this is their first time. And because it's their first time, they're here early, because that's what people usually do. But then our kids workers, if they're not there on time, or if they're not ready and they're late, then now they can't check their kid in. So they're singing,
I've been waiting for this moment for all my life.
And we say, hold on. We mess it up because we aren't ready. We aren't prepared to accept and take advantage of the opportunity. And sometimes we'll have first-time guests that come into this place. On a weekly basis, we'll have 12 to 15 first-time guests between our two services. And so they come in, they want to meet somebody, they want to ask some questions about the church, and all those people will go to Guest Central. And we're trying to recruit and get more people to help us at Guest Central, but we'll have like 4 or 5 people working Guest Central, but 15 first-time guests. So they come in saying,
I've been waiting for this moment for all my life.
And we got to say, hold on, we're not ready. We don't have the people. But something shifts in our mindset when we say there's no such thing as just another Sunday. There's no such thing as just another Sunday, because for them, this is their moment. This is a divine moment that God has to connect with this person. And so when we'll stop saying, hold on, and start turning to God and saying, oh Lord, that's what he says in the song. He says, oh Lord. Oh Lord, we say, oh Lord, then this is what happens.
I've been waiting for this moment for all my life.
Oh Lord! Dun, 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 dun. That's what happens. Thanks, Brandon. There's this moment that's created, right? The angels show up and they do a drum solo and people get saved and life change happens. But it only happens when we understand there's no such thing as any just another Sunday. That every Sunday is important, and so we have to be intentional. We will put effort into taking advantage of every moment before the window closes. James chapter 4, it tells us life is short. It's here 1 second, and it's gone the next. And so we will take advantage of the opportunity. Galatians 6:10, it says, while we have opportunity, let us do good for all people, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. That while this window of opportunity is open, do good. Make a difference, have an impact, do something. And yeah, these moments are affected through large groups of people. You might say, well, Tristan, yeah, but you're the one up there preaching. Right, I'm the one up here preaching, I'm the one up here teaching. I'm the one who's facilitating the moment, but I'm not the only one who makes the moment. Because I can have all my stuff in order. I can have a sermon ready, I can have a little thing where I have Brandon come up and sing a fun song, right? I can have all these things worked out. I can have manna from heaven, but if we don't have ushers to help people find their seats, what are we doing? I can't deliver the thing that God wants me to say because we haven't created an environment. I can have a word, but if we don't have kids people taking care of people's kids, then people can come in and they're nervous and they're thinking, what about my kid? Or I got to hold my baby, and now they're distracted, right? We can do all these things. Brandon can have a worship set. He can be up here singing like an angel. He can have a Don on the sax like Holy Ghost Kenny G, right? We can be going for it. Right? We can have all these things ready, but if there aren't people willing to work in the sound booth, right? They can practice worship, but if Mike's not on the sound booth, then we can't have everything ready. You see, it's not just about what happens on the stage. Ministry happens far beyond the stage and far after the stage. That's where ministry happens. I'm just the facilitator of what God's doing in the moment. But you guys, the stakes are the ones that hold the tent down. The stronger the stake, the greater the size of the tent. We've got to be intentional about people's moments. So ministry happens far beyond the stage. So in your seat, every one of you had one of these cards. Grab it. It's probably right in this region if you sat on it, right? Grab it. Look at it. And our heart is to give you opportunity to be a part of some people's moments. So to look at this card, you don't have to do it right now. You can take it home. You can do it in the lobby. You can do it sometime today or next week. But to look at it and say, you know what? Where do I want to serve? where do I have gifts and talents and abilities, or where would I just be able to help? Maybe you could be a part of our impressions teams on Sunday and be a greeter, or work at Guest Central, or be on our usher or safety team, or help at the information desk, or come early and help with refreshments. Whatever your gifts are, if you like to talk to people, we got a place for you. If you can't, you get nervous and you don't want to talk to people, we got places for you too. There's opportunities to serve. Maybe you love kids. Sign up, man. Let us help you use your gifts to mentor, to develop the next generation, right? Sign up to help us in kids. Maybe you have some technical abilities, or you enjoy media stuff. Man, help us serve. Get on the team. Make a difference, or worship, or creative, or administrative. Or you would just say, you know what? Place me. I don't care what I do. I don't care where I serve. Just place me. I want to get involved. We have a window of opportunity, and we have to take full advantage of it. But we can't just do it alone, you know? Together, we can do more than one of us could ever do by ourselves. And that together, we can do some amazing things and create environments for people to connect to God. You know, what I'm doing every week is I'm up here feeding. But I'm not the only one who cooked the meal, right? I'm the one who walks out with it like this. Hey, look at what we made. But I'm not the only one who made the thing that we're serving. Is that all of us together, we're a part of the kitchen staff. We're a part, you know, a church is a lot like a restaurant, right? Anybody like going to restaurants? I love going to a restaurant, right? You walk into a restaurant and you have some expectations. Just the other night, we went to Micasinas. Come on with somebody in downtown Fort Worth. That's my jam right there. And so you go on a date night, you go to Micasinas. Maybe you're going on a date night on a budget, you head to Chick-fil-A, right? Wherever you are in between, you go to a restaurant, you have some expectations. You expect to walk into the restaurant to be greeted. You know, my pleasure, Chick-fil-A, right? You're greeted, everyone's nice, you get the thing that you ask for, then you sit down in a comfortable chair. Yeah. Anybody in a comfortable chair? You sit in a comfortable chair, right? Maybe they have music playing, maybe they have, depending on the type of restaurant, they have a TV that you can watch, right? And you're sitting there and you're eating, and then the waitress comes, you know, can I get you a refill? Are you done with this? Would you like any dessert? They're trying to help you with all the needs and all the things that you want. So when you go to a restaurant, it's all about you. But then in the church, it's kind of like that. We go to a church, and in the beginning, it's all about us. But then God does something in us. And we realize that we're a stake that helps hold down the tent. We realize we were created with purpose, and we don't just go to church, but we are the living church. And so we take a little card like this, and we sign up, and we say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to help in kids. And then we turn it in, and we get a phone call. And all of a sudden, in that moment, you go from someone being served to someone willing to serve. And now you come to church not just to get, but to give. But there's this big transition that happens. So I don't want you to just sign up to be on a ministry team and be disillusioned after a couple weeks. Because the dining room of a restaurant is a lot different experience than the kitchen. Have you ever worked in a kitchen in a restaurant before? It's a lot different. So in the dining room, everything's clean and everyone's nice and my pleasure and would you like a refill? But then back in the kitchen, all hell is breaking loose, right? Stuff is bubbling and splashing and spilling and chopping and dicing and pushing and shoving and people are screaming at each other. You got Gordon Ramsay back there screaming out curse words at everybody, right? And so it's chaos in the kitchen. And so what happens sometimes, and so I'm just setting you up because I want you to serve. I want you to find a place. I want you to get somewhere and hold down a corner of the tent. But what I don't want you to be is disillusioned. So you sign up and you say, you know what, I'm going to serve. I'm going to be a part. And what you're doing is you're saying, I want to be a part of the kitchen staff. And so then you now find yourself behind that magical door of the restaurant and you see something about ministry that you didn't expect. And so a lot of times people, they sign up to help in church and they sign up to help in ministry and then they get involved in ministry and they go, oh, this is a much different experience than going to the restaurant. Well, right, it's because you're now on the other side of not just taking but giving. Okay, and so thank you for those of you that serve and thank you for those of you that are already behind the door in the kitchen helping us. But if you're wanting to sign up, you just got to know how it is in the kitchen. In the kitchen, we get stuff done. Right, like in the kitchen, if you don't show up on time, you're going to get a phone call and say, hey man, what happened? You didn't show up on time. And so let's make up an imaginary person. Okay, we'll make up an imaginary person. We'll call him Mansfield Mike. Is that okay? We could have like Midlothian Merle, or we could have, I don't know, Burleson Bob, or, you know, Arlington Andrea. I don't know. But so we'll stick with Mansfield Mike. So Mansfield Mike, he comes in and he signs up and he says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to sign up to be a greeter. And so Mansfield Mike, he's a greeter. And for 2 months, Mansfield Mike does a great job. He's out there greeting, shaking hands, high-fiving, kissing babies, doing the whole thing, right? He's doing a good job serving people. But then after 2 months goes by, He forgets there's no such thing as just another Sunday. He forgets we get to do this. He forgets to take advantage of the opportunity. And so one week he says, you know what? I really want a coffee. I'm going to run to Starbucks. I know that service starts at 9, and so I have to be there to be a greeter at 8:45, but it's okay if I'm late. He gets here at 9:05. Well, service is about to start at 9, so now he's 5 minutes late. He doesn't get to greet anybody. And so that happens for 2 or 3 or 4 weeks or for a month, and then one week he's a no-show. He doesn't call. He doesn't let anybody know. So then he gets a call from the person who's over the greeter team. Hey, what's up, Mansfield Mike? Dude, I saw that you, man, I love you. You've been doing such a great job, but over the last month, we haven't really seen you. What's happening? And this moment is a big deal for Mansfield Mike. Because sometimes what people can do is they can get a little bit bent out of shape, be like, I'm a volunteer. How dare you call me to ask where I am? And what we would say is, well, you see, the difference is that you're not just coming to be served, but you signed up to serve. And so if you wanted to be a part of the kitchen staff, you got to be here. You got to serve. We're here to work. We're here to get our hands dirty and to work hard. You love me still? Okay. So the restaurant has people that come in and receive, and the restaurant also has people that stay in the back and work so they can give. They have this other guy, his job is to be the head chef. So the head chef, his job is to make sure that the dining room goes well, that all the customers are having a good time. But his other job is to also manage all the employees of the kitchen. And sometimes Gordon Ramsay has to handle some business. And so what I try to do as a pastor is my heart is to love people that come in and to take care of business in the kitchen. That's the culture of Living Church. We're going to take care of business in the kitchen. We're going to get the job done. We're going to be here to love people, and we do it through working hard. So please sign up to serve. Just know what you're signing up for. Like, you're signing up to be on a team, to work hard. You can't just not show up to work without someone calling you and being like, hey, bro, where are you at? Okay. I love you. Jesus loves you. Okay. One of our values that Pastor Whitney talks about all the time is the idea that we get to do this. That this is a privilege. That serving people is a privilege, that loving people is a privilege, that being a home opener for a life group, it's a privilege to let people into your home. It's a privilege to do these things. So we remember there's no such thing like just another Sunday, and we get to do that. And when we do that, man, life change happens. That there's more people that we want to connect to Jesus. Let me read you one more scripture. Matthew 9:35, it says this, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in the synagogue, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. That's what we should have, compassion on people that are far from God, because they were harassed and helpless like a sheep without a shepherd. So Jesus walks around, and you know what he sees? A lot of opportunity. He sees tons and tons and tons of opportunity for people that need him. And then it says this, then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. And that's what we're saying. As I drive around South DFW, and I see all the homes going in, and all the new people moving here, and I go out and I interact with people in our community, there's a lot of people that need Jesus. We might live in the Bible Belt, but that doesn't mean that there aren't people here that don't need Jesus. And so we have the vision, we have the values, and we know that God shows up. But what we need is we need more people to come alongside and say, I'll work hard. I'll be a part of the mission. I'll be a part of what's happening. Maybe you served in a church once before and got hurt or burned out. It's time. It's time. Come on. Let's get to work. Use your gifts. Don't let the enemy steal what God gave you. That's what he's doing. He's coming on your shoulder. They're going to burn you. They're going to hurt you. It's not going to work out. Come on, be a part. Get on board with what God is doing and watch what he does in your life. Because it takes every part to make the whole thing work. At a restaurant, nobody really values the busboy. But without the busboy, there wouldn't be a table ready for you to sit at. So no matter what it is, you might say, oh man, a greeter's not a big deal. It's a huge deal, man. You know how many people don't get smiled at all week? Well, but back in kids, I don't see anybody and I don't make a difference. You do to that little kid. I accepted Jesus when I was 7 because of something a kids pastor taught who probably wasn't even getting paid. He was volunteering at the church. And then I asked my dad these questions and I accept, my parents aren't pastors, My dad just led me to the Lord. He's like, well, pray this prayer. God, forgive him of sins. Amen, right? And it was a moment for me. But it's because somebody 30 years ago volunteered at our church to teach me about Noah's Ark or something, and it changed my life. So you might think, man, all I am is the busboy, or all I am is the little receptionist girl that stands at the front and say, hi, you know, welcome to Johnny Carino's. You know, how many are with your party, right? Maybe that's what you're doing, but you're making a difference. All of us make a difference for what we're doing in the kingdom of God. So take this card, fill it out, turn it in, sign up, and get ready. We want to launch 3 services well, and we need you to be a part of that so we can stretch our tent. Let me pray for us. God, we love you. We thank you, Father, that we get to do this, that we have the freedom, that we have the privilege, Lord, that you've forgiven us of our sins, and in turn, we're going to do our best to work hard to bring people into your kingdom. So be with us this week. Inspire us. Lord, I pray that you would have this sermon create conversations in homes, that husbands and wives would talk and say, okay, it's time. Let's attend one and let's serve one. Or okay, we can get there a little early. We can do it. God, help there be some conversation created that we wouldn't just show up to the restaurant, but we would jump on the team and be a part of the staff and be the people that serve the meal to people that come in hungry. We thank you, Lord. In your name we all said, amen. Now before we leave, you know, maybe you're sitting there and you're thinking, you know, I haven't had my moment yet. I walked in today hurting. I walked in broken. I've walked in far from God. And you'd say, you know, this Jesus that you talk about who's full of love and who's full of care and who's full of compassion, I have yet to meet him. We want to give you that opportunity. That before we dismiss, we want you to know that God loves you more than you can even imagine. That no matter what you've done, no matter how many times you've done it, no matter how bad somebody else said you are, God loves you. God, all throughout Scripture, loves people that have horrible situations. And he says, come here, son. Come here, daughter. And he throws his arms around them, and he embraces them, and he wants to be in relationship. So this morning, if you're far away from God, this can be your moment. So all across this room, if you would close your eyes and bow your heads, if that's you, don't wait. Don't wait. God's in heaven standing on the front porch looking down at you right now saying, come home. On the count of 3, I'm just going to ask that you raise your hand and look up at me. We're not going to stand you off. We're not going to embarrass you. We just want to give you an opportunity to ask Jesus into your heart. If that's you, on the count of 3, don't wait this morning. Just raise your hand. 1, 2, 3. If that's you, don't wait. Take advantage of the opportunity. Yep, I see. Anybody else? Say, today's my day. Anybody else? Say, today's. Yep, I see you. It's okay. Living Church, would you pray with me and these 2 that raised their hands this morning? Everyone say this. Say, dear God, forgive me my sin and come into my heart. From this day forward, I'm going to live for you. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for believing me. In your name, amen. Let's give him a hand. Yes. This morning.